You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, Bengals fans. I am Matt Minnick, and this is Coach Speak. Well, you know, it's that time of year again. Everybody's out there looking for coaches. Coaching jobs are flying off the shelves. The GOAT inexplicably doesn't have a job, even at his advanced age. Inexplicably doesn't have a job. And, you know, look, we talk about a lot of things when it comes to coaches. And, look, I like the Raheem Morris hiring. I think he's a very good coach with a great, great opportunity there for him. You know, like, I think it's crazy they interviewed Belichick twice and didn't hire him. I mean, he's Bill freaking Belichick, but whatever. But I think Morris is a good hire. The thing about that is that, look, people look at Morris and they say, they point back to his record the first time around, right? Well, he's had other opportunities since then. He's come along. It's a different opportunity, right? Like, so we gotta look at that and realize a couple of things that are really important here, right? Coaches, just like players, can get better. All right, right? They're allowed to develop. They're allowed to work on things. You want to look at people. I mean, look at Zach Taylor. Like, Zach Taylor in his first year compared to now. Like, you see the growth. You see the things that he's done better, the improvements he's made. Personally, you know. And when you have more opportunities, like Raheem Morris as the defensive coordinator of the Rams, like, is he a head coaching candidate? Like, yes, like, add on to that. He's been an NFL head coach. Yes, it wasn't, you know, the most successful tenure of anybody in history. But, like, why should that take away from that? You know, like, it's not a bad thing. Like, he's got the experience, and as long as you can learn from those things. I mean, it's not like it was, you know, Dave Shula out there in it either. But, you know, like, you learn from those things and you move on. Like that's growth. Like, that's how it works. That's how life works. Like, you get better, you know. So that's the first thing. You're allowed to get better. And the second thing is sometimes situations are just different, right? Belichick isn't gonna have Tom Brady wherever he goes. Yes, I get that. You know, people point to Belichick's record without Tom Brady, and it's absurd to look at, because, okay, like, hey, I get it, Tom left and won a Super Bowl, like, so Tom did some things, but guess what, Tom was a lot better for having Bill, you know, like, if Tom Brady gets drafted by any team other than the New England Patriots, he might get a shot to be a starter at some point, probably not as early, he's definitely not going to be playing in a Super Bowl as early. And he's not going to be as good because he didn't have Belichick to work with. Like, Belichick is a defensive coach, sure. Belichick watched film with Tom Brady every week, like, on a regular basis. Taught him how to look at the game from a defensive perspective, right? A big part of why Tom Brady is the GOAT is because of the way his head coach worked with him. Like, neither of them is winning 6 Super Bowls on their own, right? Like you can't have one without the other. Would Belichick have, you know, eventually gotten himself fired if they didn't have Brady? Maybe. Like, you don't know. Like it's hard to say. You know, maybe it's somebody different and it doesn't work out. I don't know. Would Brady have been a Super Bowl Hall of Fame quarterback? I don't know about that either. Like he wasn't going to be bad. Like, you know, maybe he, like I said, he gets a chance. Maybe he's a quality player. But, like, you don't know, like, how those things are going to go. Like, it wasn't in Tom Brady's genetics that he was just going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. If it was, he would have been the first overall freaking pick. You know what I mean? It's not like Peyton Manning where you take the pick and you know it's golden. You know what I mean? Like, the coach was a big, big part of that. And not just the head coach, but definitely the head coach too was a big, big part of what that was. And yeah, obviously, not, you know, you can't build a mansion on a Shaq foundation. You know, you can't, Belichick was not able to turn Jarrett Stidham or Mac Jones into Tom Brady overnight. So, you can't do it with anybody. Like, Brady's a big part of it, too. But, like, you can't just discount the Brady years of Belichick's career and just act like, well, whatever. Okay? So, but that's the thing. The situation is important, right? Let's look at the situation in Cleveland. Bill Belichick took the Browns to the playoffs in 1995, I think. Anyway, took him to the playoffs. Benched Bernie Kosar, took him to the playoffs with Vinny Testaverde. Like, very unpopular moves. Played very, very well. The next year, they were having some struggles, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the damn season, they announced they're moving, right? And things went to shit, which you might expect, right? Like, and then he gets canned, and they start anew, you know, in Baltimore, and the rest is history. But he wasn't unsuccessful there. They were getting there. They were getting better. And then they had a freaking crazy damn year that didn't go well, right? Like we act like that was some big failure. It wasn't, right? Not only that, he was a big part of building that freaking front office and all the pieces in there that are the reason why Baltimore is so successful. That's why it pisses me off when Ravens fans like discount the fact that they were built in Cleveland, because they were built in Cleveland. It's freaking Ozzie Newsome. Like, Ozzie Newsome built that goddamn team, right? A Cleveland Browns great built that team, right? And a lot of those pieces, you know, that front office was really established with Belichick there, right? Hey, great example. That's a, you know, I guess they get fired. That was Belichick, and that was Nick Saban running the defense. The best coach in NFL history, probably the best coach in NCAA history, right? If not close. Like, they got fired. So, getting fired, losing some games, that shit doesn't make you a bad coach. Because that stuff happens for all kinds of dumb reasons. And those decisions are usually made by people that don't know shit about football. Moving on. There's a popular, I don't know if it's a meme, I don't know, like a picture, like a tweet or something going around right now. Regarding the 2013 Washington team formerly known as Redskins. And talking about that team has five, perhaps by the time you're hearing this, six staff members from that team who are now NFL head coaches. LaFleur, Shanahan, all right? I'm losing my mind. McVay, Morris, and potentially Slowick. I missed one. You know who I'm talking about, though. I don't know. But, like, oh, McDaniel. Duh. All right? So, all these guys, all right, if you listen to the podcast where they talk about, the, you know, the time in Washington and how things kind of developed for those guys there. Look, those are all really, really good coaches. The head coach was Shanahan's dad, who won two Super Bowls with the Broncos. They're really good coaches. They won three games that year. They won three damn games. Like, this shit takes time. Like, things gotta come together. Everything's gotta be right. Like, it ain't easy. And it doesn't make you a bad coach. It doesn't, you know, sometimes it's just the situation. Sometimes things just aren't right. So, anyway, that shit drives me crazy. All right? And you gotta look at the big picture. You gotta look how people think about things, how they process, how they work through things, and how they develop over time. You know, what their philosophy is, how their team building is. That's why all those things are important, right? And people just shift so freaking quickly, and it's a shit show, right? And that's why, like, people call teams poverty franchise, blah, 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 blah. And people always want to see action. Sometimes you just gotta let it go for a little bit. Let it develop, all right? Let it linger. Got you wrapped around my finger. You have to let it linger, all right? Let it linger a little bit. Let it develop. Know you're on the right path. Buy into it. You don't always see results right away. Like, that's being a mature adult, right? Is accepting that, you know, sometimes the initial feedback is bad and you have to wait for the reward, delaying gratification. Like, that's a big key of being successful. And we just get way too excited about this crap and fire this guy, fire this guy, fire this guy. It's like, let's see how it goes. All right, let it go. Let it go. Let it play itself out a little bit. All right. You got to judge the trajectory more than where it's at right now sometimes. All right. Where is it going? What's the process? How can we get to where we need to be on that type of stuff? Here's another example. As I sit here wearing my South Dakota State University two-time back-to-back national championship sweatshirt that recently came in the mail. Look, South Dakota State. Former head coach John Stiglmeyer got the job in 1997, I believe, as the head coach. Prior to that, he was the defensive coordinator. They were a Division II team, right? In his years as a Division II head coach, he never won more than 8 games in a season. He never finished better than 4th in a very competitive, very good Division II conference, the NCC, which I don't believe exists anymore because too many of them went to Division I. But very middling as a team overall in the history of that program for that period of time. 2004. Matt Minnick arrives on campus. All right, but none of this all has very little to do with me. All right, but when I got there, all right, and I started out as a volunteer assistant, that was the first year we were transitioning to Division I, okay? The first game as a Division I team, we got our asses kicked. We went out to Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, California, and I believe it was like 56 to something. I don't know. We got smoked, right? And it didn't look good. It was not pretty. There were some whispers about, you know, job security and the like already after one game, all right? But guess what? We kept it rolling. We got better. There was a process to it, and we built up to it. And my fourth and final year there, when I was a graduate assistant, we won the conference championship. The first time he had ever won a conference championship happened at Division I. We only didn't go to the playoffs because it was the fourth year in Division I, and we were not eligible, according to the adjustment rules at the time. We weren't eligible for the NCAA playoffs. We should have been an NCAA playoff team. We just weren't eligible for that one reason, okay? Fast forward. Like, the next year, they're eligible for the playoffs. They didn't make it. The following year, they won the conference. They made it. All right? They won... I'm sorry. I don't think they won the conference. They might have. Anyway, whatever. He won the conference 4 years. All right? Out of about the next, like, 12, I think it was he was coaching. All right? Won 4 conference championships. Doesn't seem that, you know, like a huge number. But that was in the same conference as North Dakota State, who was murdering friggin' Division I, FCS at the time, all right, Bengals guard Cordell Volson, I think he won 5 national championships because of the COVID year, he won a national championship, like, every damn year, he was there. They won the conference, they went to the playoffs 12 years, all right, out of, like, a 14-year stretch there, something like that, all right, and... I mean, really, out of a third... Yeah, anyway. Like, they went to the playoffs consistently. They never won less than 8 games after, I think, like, the year after I left. I think they had a bad year. And they had, like, 12 years where they never won less than 8 after he never won more than 8. So, the guy's a better head coach at Division I than he was at Division II. You get better. Things come along. Things develop. The situation changes. Right, the facilities, the access to things we had, right, the division, like, all that stuff changed, and it makes for a different outcome. Like, so I just get annoyed by all this stuff. Well, he wasn't successful before. Well, doesn't mean he won't be successful now. Like, great coaches, great players aren't born, they are made. All right. And they're not necessarily made by other people. They're made by themselves. They're made by their situation. They're made by the adversity they go through. All right. And yes, some coaching, some teaching, some, all right, the people that you're around. All right. I, as a coach, was definitely made by John Stiegelmeyer and some other very good coaches that I have been fortunate enough to be around. And I would not be the coach that I am without. All right. And I make no illusions about that I owe a lot of people a lot. In my life and in my career. But yeah, anyway, this is the point I'm trying to make. Like, you got to look past that stuff, right? John Stiegelmeyer won a national championship, the first of the back-to-backs, walked off into the sunset. Now, and he built the program that now Jimmy Rogers, who replaced him, who was on that team where we beat the North Dakota State, won the first championship in 2007. I was part of recruiting him, actually. I was on his recruiting visit. they're rolling, you know? And it's a totally different situation. And it's a storied, you know, storied program, you know, from what was a meh D2. They don't even change their coach. They don't bring in some big-name douchebag, right? Have a path. Believe in it. Give the people the resources they need, take advantage of opportunities, keep getting better every day. That's how you freaking win, baby. That is how you freaking win. I'm Matt Minnick. This is Coach Speak, not directly related to the Bengals today, but some thoughts, some things I wanted to share there. Enjoy your weekend, stay safe. Hoo-day.